He's still the Almighty, the unchanging one.
Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? Is it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning or what? Huh? Praise the Lord. God is so good. Good to have Dougie back playing guitar. Missed him with the praise band. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. Well, I have to offer up an apology right off the gate here, Alan. Because I got a lot more verses than what you know about. So, see where that goes. We're going to start in Isaiah 59, but first, I'm just going to pray this in. The Lord's been working on me the last couple weeks, a lot of different things. As a church, I think we're going to have to step up. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your presence this morning. Father, we just stand into the awe of how awesome you are. You're God. We love you, Father. We praise you. Father, we thank you for loving us. Sent your son, perfect son, as left written, read there in Hebrews 7, the perfect son. You were perfect. Father, we just praise you and thank you for loving us enough, coming down that cross for us, and we just praise you. We thank you, Father. Father, just be with me this morning, Father. You give me a lot. Give me order in my thoughts and order my words. And give me order so we can apply it to our life. Father, we just praise you. Father, we thank you and we love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You guys see the... I guess first things first. You guys look in your bulletin. Did you see the May the 6th? Julie, as efficient as she always is. Very efficient. We appreciate everything you do too, Julie, by the way. Praise the Lord for you. May the 6th, this coming Thursday, is the National Day of Prayer. It was signed into the National Day of Prayer, I think, in 1959. And it's a day set aside that everyone should pray. I really like this insert that Julie put in the bulletin because it gives you things to pray for. And I think that's really cool. And it actually gives you verses of scripture that tie into what you're praying for. It's government, federal, state, local, military, media, business, church, family. So this Thursday, every time you think about it, be praying for our nation, for our country, for the world, praise the Lord. I want to say that before I got going here. Did you guys look at the sermon title today? True or false? True or false? Pretty simple, isn't it? It's a yes or no question, right? True or false? If I lay my hand on this and less than come up and smash it with a hammer, would it hurt? Yeah, that's pretty much true, right? You know, if I climbed up on top of the building and jumped off, you think I would land on the ground or would I just fly away like a bird? I'd land hard, wouldn't I, huh? It's true or false? There are things, gravity is a pretty consistent thing, isn't it? Unless you're on the moon, I'm just saying, it's consistent. I had a guy tell me, what's true for you is not true for me. So you mean if we're on a bridge and you jump off, you're not going to fall like I would to my death down there? What's true for you is not true for me. That's a postmodern statement. That's a big word, postmodern, huh? And it got me to thinking, what's truth? What is truth? And what is truth? And you look at some of the verses we're looking at. I want to read some stuff here. The Lord took me on a whirlwind tour. And it was cool because I looked up all the verses that have truth in them in the Bible. There's hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. But Isaiah 59, and I want to start here in verse 14. God is talking through Isaiah, and he's saying, you know, and I read this, and I thought, this just seems like our world today. You know what I mean? Listen to this. Justice is turned away backward, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth has fallen in the street. Really? The uprightness cannot enter court of justice. Verse 15. Yes, truth is lacking. He who departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it. And it displeased him that there was no justice. Verse 16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor, no one to intervene on behalf of truth and right. God saw this. Therefore, his own arm has brought him victory, and his righteousness has sustained him. Verse 17, for the Lord put on righteousness a breastplate or coat of mail, and salvation as a helmet upon his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and is clad with zeal as a cloak. According as their deeds deserve, so will he repay wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. On the foreign islands and coastlands he will make compensation. Verse 19. So, as the result of the Messiah's intervention, they shall reverently fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And the enemy shall come in like a flood. Whew. Ever have that feeling? When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him and put into flight. He will come like a rushing stream with the breath of the Lord drives. God said there was no truth. There was no justice. There's no righteousness. And it was incredible that there wasn't any. And no one stood up for it. He said, I myself sent my son to die on the cross, become a priest at the order of Melchizedek. Had no beginning, no end. That's why Jesus compared to Melchizedek. He had no beginning and no end. He was just there. Jesus has no beginning and no end. He is our high priest. Isn't that cool? So you think, well, Matt, what's that have to do with truth? Verse 20. He shall come as a redeemer to Zion, to those in Israel who turn from transgression, says the Lord. Listen to this. This is for you and me. As for me, this is God talking. He says, as for me, this is my covenant or league with them, says the Lord. My spirit is upon you. And the Amplified says, who writes the law of God inwardly on your heart. And my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, out of the mouths of your children, out of the mouths of your children's children, says the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. What kind of a thing are we leaving behind? Isn't that awesome? Your kids, your grandkids are going to be affected by everything you do. Isn't that something? And we've been there before. I couldn't believe this guy. You know, it's true for you, it's not true for me. Really? Go look at religion right now. My goodness, what a mess. What a mess. What a mess. So, God says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring it about. I'm going to do it myself. Let's go to the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Got some verses to look here. We've read this before. John 14. It's a real simple verse. You guys all know this verse. You've quoted it. I'm sure you've said it many, many times. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know that verse, right? I know that verse. So true or false? Is this statement to you true or false? Is Jesus the only way to heaven? Yeah. You see, in our world we live in today, there's lots of ways to get to heaven. I'm a good person. I help the poor. I go feed the hungry. I mean, I do all this stuff. I work myself to the bone for God's work. Sounds good, doesn't it? It looks good. It looks really good. Jesus says there's only one way to heaven. Amen. Wow. Do you believe that? Yeah. See, it comes down to a point. True or false, this statement collides with Jesus. It's either true or it's not. You either have to believe what the Bible says is true or not. You either have to adhere to its words or not. You can do what you want. I'll get into heaven. I'm a good person. I can't tell you how many people have told me that. You know Jesus is your personal Savior? But I'm a good person. And God, he won't. He's a good God. You know, he won't do anything. Really? That's trying to get to heaven on my own merits. That's trying to get to heaven on my own thoughts. That's trying to get to heaven on what I can do. You know, when Christ died on that cross, when he said, it is finished. What did he mean by that?
The work was done.
He said, I paid the price.
I paid the price. All you have to do is believe in me.
Huh? That's all you got to do. Just believe, right?
He said, it's finished.
Why are you working yourself to the bone?
Huh?
Wow. This collides with Jesus. In Acts 4, we won't look at it. Peter's talking to the Sanhedrin. He says, you know, that person you denied is Jesus. He's the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone that everything is built on. Period. He's the cornerstone. Let's keep going. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're at the greatest preacher that ever lived on earth. It's preaching. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord Jesus Christ is delivering up a sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. A lot of different things going on here. When I started looking at this, I was focusing on verses 13 and 14. But I think to make 13 and 14 work, we're going to have to look at some things here. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 7. We'll start in verse 7. And I want you to see something here. It says, and Amplified says this way, and this is by Kenneth Wuss. He's a Greek scholar, Hebrew scholar. He wrote a version of the New Testament that's actually based on the Greek. It's pretty interesting, but that's where this came from, actually, out of Amplified. It says, keep on asking, and it will be given. Keep on seeking, and you'll find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. What's verse 8 say? For everyone who keeps on asking, for everyone who keeps on seeking, finds. And everyone who keeps on knocking, the door will be open. This is again and again and again. You ever pray and nothing happened? I'm the only one. Have you ever prayed and you wanted God to do something? It now! You had to have it now! Nothing. Huh? We've all been there. You go, oh well, you know, I'll just do something else. Is that what we do? Is that how we act? He says, how serious are you about this thing you want to do? How serious? How serious are you? How serious are you? You know, I think of Paul. Remember that thorn in the flesh Paul had? This guy healed people. He brought people back from the dead. He brought a dead man back to life. This is Paul. And he prays to God and says, take this thing away from me. God says, no, I don't think so. My grace is going to be sufficient for you. Huh? You ever get the feeling that God said, no, I want you to hang around here a little while. I got some things I want to teach you in this situation. You're like, nah! Huh? I'm the only one that does that too. Yeah, sometimes he's like, man, God, what are you doing? Why me? Ever been on your own little pity pot? Huh? Yeah, I think we've all been on our pity pot, haven't we? Yeah, we've all been there. But I think God's like, you know, one of these days you're just going to trust me. Wow. One of these days you're going to believe that I'm really with you all the time. One of these days you're going to understand that I love you so much that I'm going to bring you through this and I'm walking right beside you. Huh? Yeah. Let's keep going. So then he goes through some stuff here, asking about parents giving their children stuff and different things. And I can lay out this thing here in Matthew 7 through 11, it's encouragement to pray. Matthew 7, verse 12 is the golden rule. We all heard that, remember? Yeah. Do unto others, they would have you do unto you, right? Golden rule. We come to verse 13 and 14. And I was looking at this. Kind of cool. It says, enter through the narrow gate. Wide is the gate, and spacious and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Wow. And many are those. What? And many are those who are entering through it. Wow. Many. Verse 14. But the gate is narrow. The Amplified says, contracted by pressure. And the way. way is straitened and compressed that leads to life, and few those who find it.
What's that saying to you? What's that saying? You know, this is the end of his sermon. His Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been telling about all different kinds of things. This is the end of it. And I think what he does, the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing a clear line. Okay? This is not a gray area. This is a true or a false. This is a black and a white. This is a clear area. If you look at these verses, there's verse 13 through 14, you got two gates, two ways, two destinations, and two groups of people. Okay? In verses 17 through 20, you got two kinds of trees and two kinds of fruit. In verses 21 through 23, you got two groups of judgment. In verses 24 through 27, you got two kinds of builders building on two kinds of foundations. He's giving you a choice. Christ is saying, listen, Lord Jesus Christ is saying, listen, this is as clear as I can make it, guys. There's a true and there's a false. And I wrote this down. The wide gate includes any religions of works and self-righteousness with no single way that leads to hell. The wide gate is an easy path with no discipline or self-control. The narrow gate involves discipline. Yeah, pain. Do you believe there's heaven? Yes. Do you believe there's a hell? Do you know that hell was created by God? Do you know that? It didn't just happen. God created hell. For the fallen demons, it was not created for you and me. It was created for them. The fires of hell are fueled by God. They don't keep burning all by themselves. He fuels them. That's God. Because His justice demands, His righteousness demands justice. But I'm a good person, Matt. I don't do anything wrong. I don't cuss very much once in a while, you know, and I don't do anything. I don't treat people bad. I don't run people off the road in my car. You know, I'm a good person, right? God says, you know what? Depart from me, I never knew you. Wow. Can you imagine what that would be like? To stand in the presence of the Almighty God. To stand in His presence. I never knew you. Can you imagine that? Do you believe that this is true or not? You see how post-truth, there's so many people are stupid. I think I'm stupid. And I've mentioned that to you many, many, many times. You ought to have that by now. I'm not a very intelligent guy. But you understand, when I look at people in the world, I'm like, what are you thinking? Post-truth. We're a post-truth society. So, what's that mean? That means truth is not really... Truth is what I think it is, and you... Truth is what you think it is. It's not really a black and white. It's not straight line. Really? Wow. So, I was thinking about that, too. I said, wow, truth, you know. And there's verses in Scripture, and we might as well look at this. I kind of like this. Let's go to Matthew 12, where we're right here. This scares me, because, you know, have you ever said anything you shouldn't have? Really? Huh. I'm not the only one. Praise the Lord. I'm not the only one. Huh? Have you ever said anything that you really... Later on said, I shouldn't have said that. You know, once it's out there, you can't get it back, can you? It's like this Facebook stuff. Why would you put stuff on there if you don't want anybody to know and 100 million people can see it? Why would you do that? and then I expect some repercussion from it. You know what I mean?
Matthew 12, verse 36. This is Jesus talking again. This is a red letter day. It says, but I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak.
You mean it's that tight?
Verse 37. For by your words you will be justified and acquitted. By your words you will be condemned and sentenced.
What?
Have you ever said anything that you shouldn't have?
You ever said a cuss word?
Don't raise your hand.
Huh? Have you? Huh? If you ever said, we've all said stuff, right? And it says here, you're going to be judged by every idle word.
Wow. That's heavy, isn't it? Makes you want to not say much, doesn't it? You know what's cool about that? Because you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's God of your life. He's the Son of God. And He rose from the dead. Confess with your mouth that He is God. You know what? It covers up all the other junk you did. He said, I'm faithful to forgive you. I'm faithful to forgive you, but it keeps me in check because I got to be careful what I say, right? Those idle words that I just say, you know? I think most everybody here, we've all accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, haven't we? I think so. Look at the person beside you. Look at the person beside you. With a nice look. Now, Chelsea, Elise, you guys be nice over there. With a nice look. And look at that person and realize that the Holy Spirit of God lives inside them. Huh? And you look at me and say, Matt, you sure don't look like you got the Holy Spirit inside. You look like a dummy. Huh? Yeah! You know what? When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, He comes and lives inside you. That's that little voice that says, you shouldn't have done it. You better ask for forgiveness. You're still stupid. Huh?
Yeah. Because God knows who I am. He knows me. I do dumb things all the time. Huh? And He knows that. And you know what?
He still loves me. And I probably say things I shouldn't. Yeah. He still loves me. Let's keep going. There's lots and lots of things. We're going to work our way back to Revelation, but I want to stop in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to just see something here. I read this verse and I thought it was pretty cool. I had someone, my uncle, he's 86. The King James Bible is the only version there is, period. All the rest of these Bibles are bad. They're bad. Because the King James was the original. It really wasn't. The Greek was the original Hebrew. That's original. But you and I run into people that can't read the King James. How many new people you run into that can't read the King James? It's just like thous and these and those and thuses and whatever. Huh? So these different versions of the Bible, I think there is 700 and some different versions, and that's the different languages. Isn't that cool? Huh? That's cool, right? And I think the Holy Spirit works that because He can use those words to, you can read that and understand it. You know what I mean? It's like the Message. The Message is kind of a paraphrase, but if you talk to Philip Yancey, the guy who wrote it, no, it's not a paraphrase. It's a Bible. I wrote it like the Bible reads. And a lot of this stuff is pretty cool. I don't like it sometimes. Sometimes I do. You know what I'm saying? There again, it's in today's language, so you can sit and read it. And I can understand that. You know what I mean? People can understand it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says, listen to this, but refuse and avoid irreverent legends. It says, profane and impure and godless fictions, mere grandmother's tales, and silly myths, and express your disapproval of them. Train yourself toward godliness, keeping yourself spiritually. Huh? You guys work out? Well, Rick over there, he's been working out. Look at that guy. I mean, he looks like he's toughening up pretty heavy, huh? Look at that guy. Huh? Huh? Working out. You know what I mean?
I work out every day. Outside. Huh? Isn't that cool? Work out every day. But, you know, we should be concerned about that spiritual man inside. We should. You have to keep him spiritually and her spiritually fit. How do you do that? You want to honor people that?
You idiot! Get off the road! You don't even know how to drive!
That's spiritual fitness, isn't it? Huh? No, it's not! To stay spiritually fit, we have to be in the Word, don't we? You know, Tim Gray left this morning here before service started. He left for a car accident. I don't know what's going on there, but I wanted to pray for that. And that's on my mind right now. So I'm going to do that. Sorry. Father, we humbly come before your throne. We bring Tim before you, Father, and all these men that go out on these calls and runs, Father. We just ask your hand of protection to be with them. Your strength and your power be there, Father. And with this accident, whatever it is, Father, your presence will be there. We don't know the situation. Don't have to. We can rely on you, Father, to take care of it. We just praise you. We thank you. We love you, Father. And we pray. Amen. Sorry about that. It was on my mind. So, where are we at? Staying spiritually fit, right? So, if we're going to stay spiritually fit, what do we got to do? You got to exercise. So how are we going to exercise? I listen to the radio all the time. Hey, love. Christian music. That's cool, right? That's really cool. I like listening to it. You know what really impresses me with the music? I'm singing the music up there. If you're studying the Word and the Bible is in here, then when you sing it, it's like, it's the same thing with listening to Caleb. That's a great station, right? Listen to that every day, all day long. It's great. It's great you can listen to that. But if the Bible is not there, if the Word of God is not there, it's just a song. Just a song. Gosh. Let's go to Revelation. We're not going to get very far. I do want to tell you something, though. This is something that I found out. We're talking about true or false. Never seen this before. I was looking at some stuff. We just did communion, right? We did communion, you know. Les read out of Luke this today. He's changed it up a little bit. I think he's the first time anybody ever read out of Luke. Changed it up a little bit. Praise the Lord. You know when the Lord Jesus Christ said, cup, this is my blood, you realize that he shattered 15 centuries of tradition. Do you understand that he shattered 15 centuries of tradition? Because when they did the Passover lamb, when they did that meal, they cooked that meal, they roasted it on a fire with bitter herbs. They did the bitter herbs so they would remember how bitter it was in Egypt when they were under captivity, when they were slaves there. They eat that. And four times through that meal, they had a cup of wine. Four times through that meal. The third cup of wine at that meal was to toast the lamb. And Jesus said, you know, when you take this cup now, it's my blood. It's me. Huh? He shattered 15 centuries. Huh? Of tradition in the church. Ooh, that's blasphemous. Right? We're not a church of tradition here. You can kind of tell. But there are churches that they stand on tradition. You're not going to change the way because we've always done it that way. Huh? Churches split. People leave. There's bad feelings. It's just, it causes a lot of dissension. Jesus shattered that tradition by telling them, hey, now you're gonna, the blood is mine. It's my blood. It covers your sin. Isn't that cool? Huh? And through Revelation, there's lots of places. I ain't got time to look at all of them. You wouldn't. But if you want to look up Revelations in chapter 5, 11 through 14, it's like Jesus is praised by everything. Under the heaven, under the earth, everything. And then we go to Revelation chapter 6. And let's look at Revelation chapter 6. I want you to see something. Do you think God is a good God? God's good? All the time. So, if he's a good God, he won't make me go to hell just because I don't believe in it. Because I have my own way. My church is on the lake. I go to the church of the lake. I go fishing every Sunday morning, and that's my church. Right? Huh? You got people like that? Yeah. I don't do church.
I said, I don't either.
You go to church?
Yeah, every day. Every Sunday I go to church.
You don't do church?
No, I don't do church. I go to spend time with my family. I go to spend time praising the Lord. I go to spend time with you guys. But you know what? I love you guys. I really do. And I miss seeing you. I do. I really do. You're my family. You are. And you know what's even... I know this is probably going to be bad for you guys. Probably got to spend eternity with me. That's what I was figuring the answer would be. Great. See what I mean? But you know what? You're family. Praise the Lord.
So Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. Listen to this. When he, the Lamb, Jesus, Son of God, broke open the sixth seal, I looked and there was a great earthquake, and the sun grew black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon turned like blood, and the stars of the sky dropped to the earth like a fig tree shedding its unripe fruit out of season when shaken by a strong wind. Wow. And the sky rolled up like a scroll and vanished, and every mountain and island was dislodged from its place. Wow. Listen to verse 15. Then the kings of the earth and their noblemen and their magistrates and their military chiefs and the wealthy and the strong and everyone, whether slave or free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they called to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us! Hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the deep-seated indignation and wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath, vengeance, retribution, indignation has come, and who is able to stand before it?" Nobody. This is God. His wrath has to be appeased. He's holy. He's God. He's righteous. He's perfect. You know any perfect people? None of them go to church, I can tell you that. Huh? That's a true statement. Huh? This is just a little glimpse. There's many, there's bowls and there's things in Revelation. It's a pretty cool book to study. It takes a long time. Don't get in a hurry. When he breaks that seal, that wrath starts to be poured out. Listen to that. The sun goes black. The moon turns to blood. The stars fall from the sky. The sky's rolled up like a scroll. Mountains, islands collapse. It's a mess. And that's just because he broke the scroll. Broke the seal. That's it. It's the wrath of God coming on the world. Wow. I want to know who he is, guys. I want to know exactly who he is. Because in that day, let's go look at it. Revelation chapter 20. You see, oh gosh, Revelation 20 verse 11, we're going to hit when you get there. You see, when you study the book of Revelation after chapter 4, church seems to be gone. A lot of people believe that the rapture is going to occur and the church is going to be taken out of the world. The Holy Spirit can't leave yet because people are still getting saved during the tribulation period. It's going to be 7 years of the worst Holocaust you have ever known in your life. Anything you've ever heard in history, everything you've ever thought about, any movie they've ever made, it's going to be the worst time of the world, period. I have people say, "I think we're in a tribulation now." I don't think so. It ain't bad enough yet. I think if God's hand wasn't holding back sin and evil, I think it would be twice as worse as it is now, or maybe worse, I don't know. God's hand's still there. The United States looks like we're a mess. We are a mess. We are a mess. You know, National Day of Prayer coming up. You got something you can do. We can be praying for this country. We can be praying for this nation. We can be praying that God will open the eyes of some of our leaders. They do. What are you doing? Huh? When it's all said and done. I read a statement this week. Discipline without a goal is drudgery. Doesn't sound like much, but it's a statement. Discipline without a goal
is drudgery. It's like learning how to play the guitar. If you don't think you're ever going to play anywhere or do anything with it, it's just it's something to do. Right? You don't have a goal. You realize our goal is to make it to heaven through that narrow gate? That's our goal! We want to stand before the throne. Oh, well, kneel, lay flat face down before the throne of God. We want to be able to stand. We want to praise Him for what He's done for us in this life. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. I want you to see something here. Then I saw a great white throne, and the one who was seated on it, from whose presence and from the sight of whose face earth and sky fled away. This is the face of God. This is the face of Jesus. When the earth and sky came to be in His presence, He's so awesome. Isn't that something? You guys go out this week and look at the moon? Did you get up early enough to see the moon? I do. Every day. Huh? It's awesome. I walk outside and the moon's out and the stars are like, good morning, Father. That's pretty awesome. That's awesome, isn't it? It says here that they won't even be standing in front of His face. He's so awesome, they won't even be able to stand His presence. Wow. That's pretty powerful in my mind. And no place was found for them. Verse 12. I also saw the dead, great and small, and they stood before the throne. And the books were open. And then another book was opened, which is called the Lamb's Book of Life. And the dead were judged by what they had done. The Amplified says their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors, in accordance with what was recorded in the books. You imagine every sin I commit written in a book? Whoa, that's a big one. Really thick. Do you realize when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's a stamp on that book that says paid in full. Paid in full. And it's red. And it's the blood of my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And He pays it in full. That book don't exist anymore. It's gone. Verse 13. And the sea delivered up the dead who were in it. Death and hell, the state of death or disembodied existence, surrendered the dead in them, and all were tried in the cases determined what they had done according to the motives, aims, and works. I had people say, I'm going to get cremated. God won't be able to get me. Really? Don't think so, huh? I think God knows every atom that makes you who you are. Every molecule that makes you who you are. Every piece that makes you who you are. Isn't that something? You think He can't just put you back together now? Think about it. Think about it. You ain't going to get out that easy. You're not going to get away. Verse 14. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. You know, the word picture came to me. You ever been in an amusement park? You guys probably like amusement parks. I'm getting too old for them. My stomach won't take it anymore. You know what I mean? But you're standing, platform goes out, you fall. Going to hell is not going to be like that. You're going to be cast into it. I've heard preachers say, and it's terrible. So I'm going to help throw them in there. It's terrible. But you know, as a preacher, he's probably talked to people, and tried, and it will not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. So I kind of can understand that thought process, but I don't want to be that guy. No. It says they're going to be thrown, hurled, cast into a burning lake of fire. Wow. Great white throne judgment, you and I have nothing to worry about. Your name is written in blood in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord Jesus Christ, when your name comes up, says, that one's mine. I paid the price for that one. She's mine. She's mine. Hmm? Isn't that cool? I want to leave you one verse. We're going to go all the way back to Deuteronomy. I want to read you this because Moses does a really good job of explaining something here. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I want you to see this. Moses is talking to the children of Israel and he's telling them what's going to befall them, what's going to happen here. And he says in verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Two choices. Therefore choose life that you and your descendants may live. You may love the Lord your God, obey his voice, and cling to him, for he is your life. He is your life and the length of your days. That you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses is saying, I set before you true or false. I set before you blessing or curses. Set before you. You have to choose. Individually. I can't choose for you. You can't choose for me. We have to choose individually. He is the Lord of our life. The Son of God. Our Lord and Savior. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I'm going to come before your throne this morning. Father, we don't know how awesome and powerful you really are. One day we will. One day we're going to see you in your glory. One day we're going to know personally, individually, that you are God and all that that entails. We know our little minds can't fathom it right now, Father, but someday we will. We just praise you and thank you, Father, for being our Lord, our Savior, and our God, that we can believe your word. Your word is true. Believe it and apply it to our lives and spiritually strengthen our inner man, our inner woman, that we can be standing for you in the day of trouble. When that flood comes upon us, all the things of this life come upon us to beat us down, Father. We just praise that your right arm, your strength, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has died on that cross to give us life and give it to us abundantly. Father, we just praise you. We thank you. Pray that these words be applied to our lives. We can just be in service to you. Father, we praise you and love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. The elders come forward. Praise team comes forward. We got a song we're going to sing. Let me open this up. You know, started out, the healer hasn't lost his touch. And he hasn't. Our God is still the same today. Yesterday, 1,000 years from now, if we're here that long. The healer has not lost his touch. He's still the Almighty. He's still showing up. If you have anything you need prayer for this morning, we're here. As a song is being sung, let it speak to your life, let it speak to your heart. Let's praise the Lord.